You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The democratically elected president of Honduras, Manuel Zelaya, planned to ask the Honduran people in a non-binding referendum if they wish to have a constituent assembly to revise their country's 1982 constitution. But the army, together with the economic and political elites, instead organized a coup on June 28th. Seized from his bed, Zelaya was forcibly flown into exile. This was the first coup in Latin America since the 2002 U.S.-supported effort to overthrow the government of Hugo Chavez. What were the responses to the coup from the Canadian government and the U.S. government, and what does it tell us about their policies? To discuss this, I'm joined on the phone from Montreal by Yves Engler. He's a journalist and an author, and his latest publication is The Black Book of Canadian Foreign Policy, which was released last month. Hi, Yves, and welcome again to Red Eye.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the Canadian government. How did the Canadian government respond to the coup in Honduras?
First of all, Ottawa's initial reaction about 8 hours after the coup two Sundays ago was to say no comment. And as the opposition throughout Latin America and actually around the world increased, basically every country in the hemisphere condemned the coup sometime earlier in the day on Sunday. By late Sunday night, around midnight Eastern time, Peter Kent, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister for the Americas, finally condemned the coup, but condemned the coup in quite mild language, sort of leaving open who was actually the perpetrators of the coup, and did not call for Manuel Zelaya's return to the presidency, which basically every country now, including the U.S., has done.
And was the Canadian government, because there were some indications that this coup was coming, did the Canadian government make any other comments about Zelaya or his presidency in the build-up to the coup?
Well, that's exactly the thing. Is that a lot of people consider that the fact that 8 hours after the coup that Foreign Affairs spokesperson said no comment was just they didn't have time to figure things out. But things had been clear, at least since Friday, when the Organization of American States had passed a resolution about the situation in Honduras. Everyone who was paying attention, which of course includes Canadian diplomats active in Honduras, knew that there was something brewing in Honduras. And in fact, Peter Kent had made comments sort of critical of Zelaya's plan to hold a non-binding referendum on rewriting the Constitution. He had made comments in the weeks previous critical of Zelaya, and actually had even been involved in sort of weakening the Organization of American States' attempts to pass a sort of stronger resolution before the coup. So it's pretty clear that the Canadian government has positioned itself sort of in an antagonistic manner to the elected president, and particularly the elected president's plans to sort of his work to move the country in a sort of leftward way to increase popular participation in the country.
What interest does the Carper government protect by the kind of response they've given?
Well, I think there's sort of the two kind of different major Canadian interests. On the one hand is the particular Canadian corporate interests. We're talking about Canada being the second biggest foreign investor in Honduras between 96 and 2006, at least the most up-to-date statistics say Canada's second biggest foreign investor. Numerous Canadian mining companies, including Vancouver-based Goldcorp, the second biggest gold company in the world. They have a mine that's been under quite significant political protest, social movements, opposition to the ecologically destructive San Martin mine. And the Zelaya government had put a moratorium on future mining concessions. Canada, with 60% of the world's mining companies based on Canadian stock exchanges, was certainly not happy about the idea of any sort of moratoriums on mining, which would of course cut into their potential at future concessions around the world. Also, there's Montreal-based Guild and Activewear, the biggest blank T-shirt maker in the world, does more than half of its production in Honduras. A few years back, they were involved in quite a bout of bad publicity in terms of their treatment of their workers and firing the pregnant workers and blocking employees from being able to unionize. And at the start of this year, the Zelaya government increased the minimum wage by 60%, which is part of what frustrated the economic elite, prompting them to push for this coup. And certainly, I think that Guild and Activewear would not like the idea of increasing the minimum wage. They're really sort of based around the they shut down all their factories in Quebec and the northeast of the U.S. in the past couple of years to really move production down to Honduras, Haiti, Dominican Republic, and they really based around this sort of cheap wage model of profitability. But I think the more general, beyond the particular Canadian corporate interests, more general interest of the Canadian government is really in pushing back against the leftward independence movement that's been sweeping Latin America. And I think that the Harper government's made very clear that it's antagonistic to Venezuela's government, antagonistic to the leftward shift in the hemisphere. And the Zelaya government had a little less than a year ago joined the ALBA, the Bolivarian Alliance for the Americas, which is a growing sort of movement of governments that are positioning themselves against the historic dominance of Washington and northern corporations across Latin America. So I think that the general picture is of a Harper government, the Canadian government, hostile to the leftward shift in the region.
Let's switch then to the Obama government. What was its response, and what does it tell us about Obama's policies in Latin America?
I think, first of all, though they haven't been significantly detailed yet, I'm convinced that there's some American corporate interests or military or CIA interests who have quietly sort of supported the military in overthrowing Zelaya. Publicly, the Obama position has actually been better than the Harper government's position. There, Obama has called for Zelaya's return. Some of the comments that Clinton has made. They're not completely clear. They are like the Canadian government, and they are sort of implying that there's some legitimacy to the coup officials. But by and large, the public comments of the Obama administration have been stronger. Now we also know that the Americans have a military base there with at least 500 troops. They have the people who responsible for this coup were trained at the School of the Americas, where the Americans train Latin American military officials. Been doing that for a long time. So we know there are links between certainly the economic elite in Honduras, significant links between the economic elite in Honduras and Washington. But in terms of publicly, and the Americans have actually even cut off, I think, about $17 or $20 million in military assistance to Honduras, while the Canadian government, in fact, hasn't. Honduras is a priority country for Canadian aid, at last figures were about $17 million in Canadian aid to Honduras. There's been no mention of Canada cutting off aid until the elected president has returned. So I think that the Obama position is publicly better than the Harper position, but privately, I think that there's probably certain sectors of the American government that are actively supporting this coup.
There were reports in the New York Times and elsewhere that the American ambassador was discussing possibilities of the coup with forces in Honduras from the elite and the military, and released sort of the version of that we were not in favor of a coup. And yet the coup happened, and other people comment that it's the case if America frowned, nothing would happen. So what do you make of those kind of reports and comments?
Well, yeah, no, how the New York Times put it is that the American ambassador was trying to dissuade the American or the Honduran military from overthrowing Zelaya. I think that if the American ambassador or if Clinton, Hillary Clinton, or of course if Obama would have actually talked to these military officials and said, if you overthrow Zelaya, we will we will invade or we will cut off all assistance, or if he would have been strongly antagonistic, I think that it's highly unlikely that this coup would have happened. I think there's no doubt there's a sort of ambiguous kind of Americans take a sort of ambiguous position. I think that the cutting off of the aid, I think that part of the Americans' position, part of the sort of ambiguity of the Americans' position of the Obama government is the fact that they're trying to test the waters in terms of where Latin America is at, where the world is at in terms of accepting this. I think Latin America thus far, that's across the political spectrum, from Uribe in Colombia to Chavez and Morales in Venezuela and Bolivia, have all condemned the coup in quite explicit language, have called for the return of Zelaya. So I think that part of the sort of ambiguity of the American position is to see, sort of what they can get away with. I think the same thing goes with the Canadian position in terms of, and I think that one thing that is sort of one, the sort of silver lining in this coup is the fact that Latin American governments have been quite explicit about sort of opposing this overthrow of democracy.
We've had the attempted coup in 2002 of Chavez. Before that, the coup, very similar, of which Canada, U.S. and France engaged in removing and deporting the elected president Aristide out of the country and never allowing him back in. Do you see parallels with this? Is this an advance on that, or is it a kind of maintenance of that policy, but with a slightly different tactical level than the Bush administration used in the other two?
Yeah, well, I think that the sort of the language that both presidents Zelaya and Jean Bertrand Aristide used are very similar. Both claim that they've been kidnapped and they were dumped in foreign countries. Aristide was dumped in the Central African Republic, and Zelaya was dumped in Costa Rica. So there's some similarities on that level. I think that more generally about the history of Canada's role in the hemisphere. The history of Canada's role in the hemisphere is as having actively destabilized then the Salvador Allende government in Chile in the early 1970s, and supported Pinochet's overthrow of Allende, having tacitly supported the Americans getting rid of Jacob Arbenz in Guatemala in 1954, Canadian corporations having played a fairly significant role in the military's overthrow of João Goulart in Brazil in 1964, and Canada having quietly supported the overthrow of Chavez in April 2002. So I think that the history of Canada has a whole history of supporting right-wing coups in the hemisphere, and I think that there, on one hand, there is, people talk about this as being sort of a return to the bad old days. The reality is that there was a coup, quite a brutal coup in Haiti in 2004, and that coup policy continues. There was a coup in Venezuela in 2002. I think what's different about this coup is, in the case of Haiti, you actually have Latin American governments, Latin American armies, fulfilling the function of the UN force in Haiti, sort of doing the policing military work of Washington and France and Canada. In the case of this coup in Honduras, you have a much clearer rejection by the countries in the hemisphere, which again I think is the sort of the silver lining in this coup.
Well, thanks for speaking with us today, Eve, and best of luck.
Thanks a lot for having me, Martin.
I've been speaking with Eve Engler in Montreal. He's a journalist and author. His most recent publication is titled The Black Book of Canadian Foreign Policy. You can ask for it and find it in progressive bookstores.